Hi friends, Graham here. I trust this video finds you well. Hey, in a moment I'm going to continue my series on how to develop faith to avoid calamity, to avoid situations. Really important teaching. This could save your life. I really mean that. And we'll jump into that in a moment. Firstly, as always, let me do a few quick housekeeping things. Number one, if you're not a Christian, I should have a link somewhere below me, and I have a video on how to become a Christian, how to give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm doing this video in Pennsylvania this week. Last night we saw several young people do that, step out of darkness into light, and it's so important we do that. Secondly, if you are watching this on YouTube, please consider hitting the subscribe button down there, and check out many of the links below. I have too many things to talk through and go over there, but let me mention just two of those. I have my teaching notes. These are my teaching notes, an old leather book I've had for years. But I've been putting out my teaching notes for the last few weeks on a special webpage. And if you're interested in downloading some of those notes, the notes from these daily videos, or my Sunday sermons, or my scripture references, notes, examples, wise sayings, all these kind of things, I have a page there. Those are free. If you go to ggm.org or check out the links below, you will see a place you can sign up to receive those notes in your inbox. And good, let me mention as well, if you're not yet getting our email newsletter, we send out about once a week with lots of goodies, encouragement, different things, travel news. There should be a link below to sign up for that. Right, so let me continue this. I began sharing, I think I began this series in Texas last week, where I began talking about the idea that what most of us do is we wait until calamity, we wait until problems hit us, and then we, in reaction to the problem, to the disease, to the bad news, to the persecution, we try to engage our faith to remove it. You know, anybody teaching faith, anybody truly teaching faith knows you are going to have problems in your life. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really heard anybody teach that, you know, if you have faith in God, you won't have problems. Anybody who teaches that is not a person of faith and probably doesn't own a Bible or never reads it, because the Bible says we will have problems. All who live godly in this life will suffer persecution. Jesus said, John 16, in this world you will have tribulation. When Jesus says you will have, then you will have. He says you will have tribulation, but he didn't say sila, stop, pause, think, reflect. He said in this world you'll have tribulation. Then he said, but be of good cheer, be overflowing literally with joy. Why? Because he says, I've overcome the world. And then in 1 John 5:4, of course, John writes, and the same John who penned that verse we read in John 16, and he said, whosoever, that there's an old song that says, whosoever meaneth me. I'm a whosoever, you're a whosoever. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And now he says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And then it says, this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. So God wants us to develop faith overcoming, world overcoming faith. Okay. But as I said, the danger is we kind of walk merrily along life. Most of us have a kind of innate capacity when all is going well to think it will stay that way. You know, where it's actually very hard for younger people who are healthy to think about sickness and disease and that sort of thing. You know, they've never maybe encountered that, and they'll think it will always be this way. But again, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. I don't think that necessarily means it's God's will we go through tribulation, you know, in that specific sense, but in a broader sense, we're in this fallen world, we will go through these things. So my premise to you is that we can build faith in advance. Do you remember, there's a principle of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And in the way the wisdom of God said, during the 7 years of plenty, if you make provision, if you store food, if you build storehouses, when you hit the 7 years of famine, you'll be prepared for that. And I believe at a very practical, if I can call it that way, like a faith level, God wants us to build a storehouse of faith. God wants us to have more faith than we need. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I think he said twice a year, have a day called Faith Day. Let me tell you what faith day is. Faith day to me means I take either the whole day off or at least the morning off, and I'll usually sit on the floor and I will, in the old days I'd write these out, but I'll print out every scripture I know on faith and I'll just read them. And it's like I literally, I don't mean I roll on the floor in them, but it kind of feels like that. I soak in faith. Why? I'm not doing that because I have a problem. I'm doing that to build a storehouse, to build a barn. I'm doing that to knowing that in the future I will have problems. And that when you have a problem, it's the worst time in the world to try to build your faith. So I really want to encourage you, now is the time. You know, wise virgins buy oil now. Paraphrase, if you will, of Luke 25. So how do we buy the oil of our faith? Let me give you some things here today. I really want to give you three steps. Number one, develop a vision for your life in that specific area that you are praying, meditating, seeking God about. You know, I would encourage everybody to, you know, frankly, we just get way too busy in life. And I personally want to encourage everybody to take some time, you know, think over your life, think over your spiritual life, think over your marriage, if you're married, children, if you have children, your specific calling ministry, think over your finance, think over your health, think over your environment, your home, places you live, think over the friendships and relationships you have, and don't take them for granted. Here's what I do anyway. I believe that in all of those areas, God has a vision for our life. And again, my challenge to you is, do you have a vision for those areas? Because if we're living in this kind of neutral plane where we just haven't thought about it, that's actually an open door that Satan can use to attack us. You know, if we'll begin to literally, and I'll talk about this in a later lesson, but make some faith declarations. I think everybody married should in a way have this sort of trigger response. I'm never going to commit adultery. I'm never going to cheat on my spouse. I'm never going to walk away. I'm never going to get divorced. You say, Graham, I got divorced. You're condemning me. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, honey. Grace, 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 grace. But, you know, get healed from that. And if you ever get remarried at the right time in a godly biblical context, then reboot that thought that says, I'm never getting divorced. My point is not to condemn anybody for yesterday, but have that faith place that says, I'm going to invest my faith and believe God. I can't do this on my own. I need the help of Holy Spirit, and I want to, again, catch God's heart for this part of my life. And I would encourage you, you know, even today, get a pen and a paper, maybe get a journal, and take some time and think over the areas, the different areas of your life. Think over, again, I'll go over some of those things I mentioned. I mentioned your spiritual life, your walk with Jesus, your finance, your ministry, your church, your marriage, your children, a wider family, if you will, your environment, your health, you know, the country, the context in which you live, just different things, and allow the Lord to give you a vision. I mean, number one, I would actually come, and some of these things are in our own hearts where I believe we are coming to God and we can initiate that process where we're saying, Lord, I want to believe you for this. I want to believe you for this. I want to believe you for this. There are other times I believe we should go to the Lord and say, I don't even know what your will is, what to believe you for in this area. You know, it's funny. I'm in a season right now where I'm believing God for a new vehicle. And interesting place to be. It's not, I'm challenged, but I'm not challenged financially. I don't know what the best vehicle for me would be. I've got a few ideas, but I'm actually kind of holding it lightly before the Lord and just sort of praying over it. Now, in a good sense, what I've done over the years is I've sown my faith. I've built my faith in that area so that I've got the faith to go out today if you want to buy a new car cash. But I don't even know which car to get. I mean, I actually don't know. I mean, part of me would like one thing or like another or whatever. And I'm just holding that before the Lord. So I want to say, know the things that you desire in those areas, but then submit those to the will of the Lord and be praying over those and say, Lord, how should I be looking? Let's talk about our health. How should we be looking at later life? How should we be looking? Last week, I was at a conference with a preacher who's 86. And, you know, it's interesting. He said he'd just been to the doctor and he's got you know, they said you've got the heart, the metabolism, the not metabolism, but the kind of internal metrics of a 35-year-old. And I really believe it. This guy's got twice the energy of most 16-year-olds, frankly. And my point is, have that vision. How do you see your life going in that place? How do you see yourself as you get older? How do you see yourself as your children? What kind of parent do you want to be? Have that vision. See the vision. Write it down. Make it plain that you can read it and you can run with it. Come on. The last point I want to make today is this. Begin to plant a garden. Begin to plant a garden. You know, I spoke there. Let me finish with this with a story. I might best illustrate this. Many years ago, back in the about 86, 87, I read a book by Colin Urquhart, great man of God. And basically in Colin Urquhart's, I think it was his autobiography or some of it anyway, he tells the story of how he needed a vehicle for his ministry. So he went to a car dealership and by faith ordered a brand new car. Wonderful. And, you know, of course, the next day and the next few days, money came in from all over the world and he went and he paid for his car and drove it away. Now, I'm reading this. I'm 17, 18, just started off in itinerant ministry. I needed a car. So I read the book, read the story a few times, and I went and did exactly what he did. The problem was he'd spent years planting a garden of faith, sowing God's word in his heart, proving God in smaller things, going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, sowing the word of God in his heart. And when he needed to, he could go and reap a harvest where he'd sown seed. Now, of course, all I had was a story. So I went and ordered a car. And of course, over the course of the next few days, the mailman brought me zilch, nothing. No money came in for my car. Yeah. I don't think the question was, should God want me to have a car? I think God did want me to have a car. I think I was not yet in that place of faith. And eventually I had to go back to the car dealership and pay some money to get out of this deal. And it was horrible. And, you know, it's interesting. Over the course of the next few weeks, God gave me a good, cheap, reliable, actually a really great car. But it was more where my faith was at. I was at level one. That Colin Urquhart guy was at level 10. Here's my point to you. In all of those areas of your life, you know, that we defined, rather than praying, God, just come and zap me and do a miracle here, I think what we should be doing is saying, Lord, what are the promises, what are the words you wish to sow in my life in these areas that in the future, maybe next year will be harvest time, maybe 5 years will be harvest time. There are plants that you've got to plant and wait several years before they'll come to maturation. And but what are the things God wants you to be planting now that you will reap a harvest in the future? And I would do some work in the Holy Spirit, some work in prayer, praying over those things, defining them, thinking about them. And I would commit yourself to a daily plan of engaging your heart with those things. Yeah, Paul said, one planted, one watered, God gave the increase. One thing I know and approved in my life is we never have to convince God to give the increase. Anytime there's no increase, there's usually, the problem isn't lack of God giving the increase. The problem is you and I, a lack of planting seed and a lack of watering. So, Selah. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson on that. I really encourage you guys to engage with those things in your daily life today. Thanks for watching, guys. Cheering you on as you walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Again, check out some of the links and my website, gjm.org. Bye for now.